Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of Young Hollywood Actors and the Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on the Hometown to Hollywood podcast is Kevin Mock. Kevin is a producer, editor, and director, best known for his work on DC's Legends of Tomorrow, America's Next Top Model, The Flash, and Chuck. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah.
It is great to you swung by on your way into work today.
Exactly. I'm on my way to the office, and I thought I'd stop by. Share some stories.
Well, it's nice that we can do this face to face, you know, because living in LA, you can do that. I just want to get started right off with the obvious question: how did you get started as an editor and producer and director? Because you've done all three of those things extensively. And what kind of education did you have? What kind of training?
Well, I was always a filmmaking kid. I was into my grandfather used to have a Super 8 film and would film all our family stuff. And he would edit the stuff in his kitchen. And I think from an early age, just I was a fan of movies. But then having seen my grandfather, you know, film stuff, I sort of got a sense of like, oh, this is, there's a camera and there's this. So we're, you know, at a really young age. So probably from the time I was 9, I was making movies with my friends or for school projects or things like that. And so, yeah, throughout high school. And so then I went to Syracuse University and studied television, radio, and film production at Newhouse, which I was there with Ron Hart and John Beck, which is how we've been connected.
That's so cool and so crazy. I love that.
Yeah. And worked on lots of projects there. And I think my big advice for someone who's doing film school or something like that is like, work on as many things as you can and work with as many people as you can, because when you get started in this business, it's, you know, even if it was something you did for free or you were helping a friend on a student project, they'll remember you and they'll be able to recommend you for jobs because you've worked together. That person works hard. They'll know that, and they can feel confident to recommend you for things.
That's huge. I mean, to be able to just, even if your friends that you went to school with, say, aren't in a position to hire you directly, they are in a position to speak with truth about your work ethic and your talent. And
yes, exactly, right?
Yeah.
That's important in this business, I think. And so I did Syracuse University, and while I was there, I sort of realized that that editing was my strength. It was something that I had an aptitude for. So I knew I wanted to direct, and I just knew that you couldn't walk out of film school and immediately direct something. So I thought, well, my path in will be editing. So the first company I worked for was a company called Concord Films, which is Roger Corman's company. Now, Roger Corman he's a famous B-movie filmmaker. He's been working since maybe even the 50s, but the 60s for sure. And he, you know, the directors that got started with him are like Martin Scorsese and James Cameron and Joe Dante and Francis Ford Coppola. So that was like but that was in the 70s. Like, he did it because he got people in their 20s to work for no money at all. And he would make really cheap, kind of corny movies, and so his company was, they would make like 12 films a year. So they had a studio in Venice, and I went and worked there as a production assistant and just immediately said, I want to learn post-production. And they said, well, I would do my day working as a PA on set, and then I'd go in and I'd start syncing dailies, and we were still on film at the time.
So wait a second, my little brain is exploding, because
yeah,
all the PAs I know work like 15-hour days.
It was long. Yes, I think I was...
adding editing training.
No, I know, right? It was a little... I was 21, so I had a lot of energy, and I had... I think they had me driving one of the actors. And so my day wasn't quite as long as some of the other PAs. So it was maybe closer to 13 hours.
And so, only 13.
So I would go and, I mean, I would only spend maybe 2-3 hours singing dailies, and then that was it. Or I'd come in on weekends. And then when the film wrapped, I stayed and did some work with them. And then I eventually got a job at another similar company called PM Entertainment that was the same model, which was they'd make 12 cheap films a year. And And I worked as a PA, and they had AVIDs. And so this is a, if we're going to talk about editing.
Yeah, yeah, so, talk, because this is like, this is a foreign land for many of us. Okay. And this is our opportunity to learn a few things.
So editing used to be, you know, on film, it used to be you'd have to cut and splice physically. And so I moved to Los Angeles just when the transition was happening. It was moving from film to digital, and which is now how they edit everything is, and, So the transition to the machine was called the Avid, and it was really expensive. I mean, they probably cost, you know, at least $50,000 or more at the time. So not every film was editing on Avid. And if you were a cheap film, you were probably editing still on film. And there was a rumor that Roger Corman was going to start getting Avids, and everybody was competing to get jobs on that because everyone wanted to learn it. And I had a friend from college who was working at another company that was similar to Roger Corman's. And they had Avids. And so she said, why don't you come over here, work as an office PA, and just go make friends with the editor.
So is this your second or your third PA stint?
I think it was my third. I'd done two films for Roger Corman, so but each of those lasts about a month. They're pretty short. And then went to this other company. So I'd been in Los Angeles maybe 2-3 months at this point. And she said, come over, work as an office PA. So I work as an office PA, and I would do the runs. And then she'd say, look, if things are slow in the office, you can go downstairs, talk to the editors. And I was like, okay.
Learn a few things.
So I would go down there. And by the time I was there a couple of months, they said, oh, we need an assistant editor to work the night shift from, you know, midnight till 8 a.m. and just loading footage. And they had three Avids. So I would go in, load the footage, but then I had access to the machines and I could teach myself how to do it and how they work. And that was a big deal at the time.
So I just want everybody listening to notice the kind of initiative that this takes. Nobody hands you the path for this kind of a career. You know, I mean, you did, in fact, you know, study film production, right? Did that at a university. But then when you're here, you still need to kind of find your way in.
I think that, and I think you also just need to let people know what you're interested in. I think that's, I wasn't, you don't have to be pushy. I don't think I was ever pushy. I hope I wasn't. But I think the idea that I was interested in something, that I was interested in editing, and if I went down and introduced myself to the editors, they said, oh, hey, here's someone who has the same interest as me.
Yeah.
And they would, like, they would share knowledge.
Because they're humans, and they're nice people in many cases.
Yes. And they were also in a position to then say, oh, we need someone in an entry-level position. Mm-hmm. If I just said, hey, I'm interested in directing, well, I can go talk to the directors, but they can't help. There's nothing they can do to help me along the way. There's not an entry-level step. But in other departments, like if I had been interested in cameras, in the camera department, I could have gotten a job as a camera assistant. Or if I had been interested in set design, I could have gotten entry level jobs there. So I think that if you want to get into production or in any, or even if you want to direct or you want to do something like that, my advice is, what aspect of filmmaking do you enjoy the most? And see if you can focus on, at least specialize in that a little bit, and it'll help you get there.
It'll open some doors. And if you really, really enjoy it, then, you know, the crazy long hours that it frankly generally requires are not going to feel like such a burden.
No, it's kind of fun.
You know, it's because, like, I'm getting paid to do this.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So PA, 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 and then you're working on the Avid machines.
So I was an assistant editor.
Okay.
And then I got really lucky the second, or maybe the third film I was assisted editing on, the editor quit. And I had been practicing cutting scenes. And so at the end of the editor left, and he didn't give much notice. And the producers were like, what are we going to do? And I said, well, just so you know, as you're hiring an editor, I've already cut some scenes, so he can, you know, whatever editor you hire can use those. And they looked at the scenes, and they're like, oh, you could be the editor.
Ah, that must have been an amazing day.
It was great. They didn't pay me anything more. And, you know, they were basically taking advantage of me. But that's okay. I was young and excited to be learning on the job. And it was a low budget enough film that they didn't really, it was like, oh, we can save some money.
We can pay him as an assistant editor and we got an editor out of the deal.
And then I just kept saying I was interested in stuff. So I learned how the sound mix works. And I learned, as finishing that film, I learned a whole bunch. And that really got me on my path there. So
that is neat. I love hearing those stories because everybody's is different. There is no single way to get into any of this.
No. And that was, I mean, that's a very unusual story. Like, I think for most editors, I would think I was 22 when I was editing. That's really unusual. Like, most people aren't that young. And I think it was just, it was really just luck mm-hmm. that I was in that place at a time when everything was changing and there was a lot of turnover at that particular company.
But you also put yourself in the path of the luck. You weren't sitting on your couch going, gosh, I wish I could get involved in this industry and not moving off the couch.
but that's the, you sort of hope you get lucky and you hope you try to put yourself in those positions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Among the three roles that you've really done so extensively mm-hmm. at this point, editing, producing, directing, is there one role that you enjoy more than the others right now? Because that may have even changed over the years.
I enjoy the directing the most, just because you have the most creative control and you can have the most sense of ownership in what you've done. Mm-hmm. And directing is such a collaborative process that I love that aspect of it. But I will say that directing is also the most stressful of all of them. So my stress level when I'm editing is a lot lower, and it is even lower when I'm producing, but when I'm directing, it can be very high.
Oh, yeah. So. No, it's crazy. But then the rewards are higher, so.
Yes. Yeah.
Hi. With the entertainment industry changing every day, I'm continuing to work to be a source of inspiration and information in your life. As it's been for 5 seasons and over 120 episodes, the Hometown to Hollywood podcast will be there for you. Now, I'm asking you to be there for us. The podcast has been a labor of love for years, and now I'm asking if Hometown to Hollywood's been a friend to you, if it's helped, educated, and inspired you, please become a supporter of the podcast. For only $5 a month, the price of a latte, you can become a friend of the podcast and help me afford to continue to do the work that you've come to depend on for honest, insightful interviews that shed light on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. If you can afford it, pitch in $10 a month and become a good friend of the podcast. Your support helps supplement the people who can only give $5 a month. Join now. Just go to hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. That's hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. And in just 2 clicks, you can have access to the complete version of this incredibly informative conversation, as well as each upcoming episode and the entire collection of over 120 past episodes. If you can't afford $5 a month to subscribe, the first 10 minutes of every episode will still be available for free. Subscribers get the full episodes delivered right to their inbox. Thank you. I appreciate your support, and I can't wait to share the exciting upcoming conversations with you. Meanwhile, if you could use some one-on-one coaching, invest in a video consultation session with me. Just go to hometowntohollywood.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.